Blog Talk Radio.
What's happening?
Science isn't about facts. It's about what we want you to believe.
Somebody kill me!
Welcome to Super Tuesday on Simple Facts of Life Radio, or as those of us who tend to support President Trump refer to it, Tuesday. But remember, every day is super when you believe in personal liberty, personal responsibility, and personal accountability. I am your host, The Chief, coming to you from somewhere in the vicinity of Portland, Oregon. If you'd like to join the show, the number here is 949-272-9588. Well, I had something I wanted to talk about, and I'm going to get to in 15 minutes, 10, whatever it takes. But I just had to talk a little bit about the Super Tuesday election because, well, polls are open in 15 states right now, and the first places should be closing in just about an hour. And so shortly after we're done here, the first results should be starting to come in. And the whole thing is looking quite a bit different than it did just a week ago. This was precipitated by, well, on Saturday they had the South Carolina primary. No surprise that Joe Biden won it. It was a bit of a surprise just how big he won it. It was like 45% of the vote with several candidates on the ballot. That was pretty convincing win. You know, I read it was pointed out that after three elections or runs at the presidency, it is the first primary win he finally managed to get. But I, and along with several others, had pretty much said that his campaign was on life support. Well, it's starting to look like he has awoken from his coma and is kind of rambling. Well, that's what he does. But the most interesting thing that happened over the last couple days is the narrowing of the field, because Mayor Pete Buttigieg and Senator Amy Klobuchar, whatever her name, however you say it is, on Sunday, Pete dropped out suddenly, and then yesterday, Amy dropped out. The timing of this seems really strange. Now, sure, we know that they were both way long shots. I mean, neither of them had any realistic chance of getting the nomination, but today was supposed to be the day when we would find out. You know, maybe there was something there that we didn't see. And why would they leave right? You know, it's like, I don't know, I make a lot of references to poker here, because it would seem like, you know, the got a little bit of money in the pot and it's just been checked to you. Well, why not just check along and I mean, why fold your hand, even if it's a lousy hand? You never know. Might be better than you thought. But they just folded. Well, I think it didn't take me too long to figure out, and then just a little reading, everybody seemed to come to the same conclusion. They didn't just quit. They were bought. Somebody got to them. I don't know if it was what they were offered, who offered it to them, but somebody offered them something. I've read the Democratic National Committee may have gotten to Mayor Pete, said, okay, drop out now, and next time we have an election, we'll go all in with you. Maybe. Amy may have been promised something, vice president, something like that. I don't know. I'd even read somewhere that especially in the case of Mayor Pete, who is not really in office right now, but I read some speculation that Michael Bloomberg may have just cut him a check just to get rid of him. I don't think that's likely, but yeah. Well, both of those two came out yesterday in full endorsement of Joe Biden. So I think that says where they're at. They were offered something, obviously. Look, I saw it this morning where the rally in Texas, Mayor Pete was there, and Joe Biden, said, yeah, I'm going to want you in my administration. So he was offered something, but I think we all know what's actually going on here. The Democrats, as I've mentioned, most weeks over the last couple months, they're in full panic mode about Bernie Sanders, and they have gone into full stop Bernie mode. I think they've remembered what happened to the Republicans 4 years ago when they all thought they could sort of hit at Donald Trump and eventually wear him down, but he ended up wearing them down. So they're trying to coalesce around somebody. Seems to be Joe Biden, and that makes sense, because Joe Biden is certainly the most establishment of the establishment candidates. So they are in full stop Bernie mode. Now, interestingly enough, the one formerly quasi-major candidate who is remaining in the race is Elizabeth Warren. I think if anybody got to her, it was to get her to stay in the race, because anybody that would likely support her if she dropped out will probably go to Bernie. So they don't want her to drop out. They want her to take as many votes from Bernie as they can, because it seems that they just do not want Bernie to get to the convention with a majority of delegates. Even if he's only one delegate short, when it comes to the first vote, they can pull some stuff. They just want to make sure he doesn't have a majority. Now, looking in on what the left is saying, I saw something from my go-to guy there, what I refer to as blue checkmark guy. Interesting. His comment on the people dropping out, he's supporting Elizabeth Warren. Now, that's kind of interesting, because a few months ago, he had said, he is a well-known journalist in Silicon Valley, And when Elizabeth Warren came out attacking the Silicon Valley people, blue checkmark guy said that Elizabeth Warren was dead to him. Never vote for her. Well, he's completely changed his tune. His logic, and it was logical, he didn't think Bernie was really that viable in the general election, a little too divisive. He said, we have divisive now. We need somebody a little more unifying. Joe Biden doesn't inspire confidence. And Bloomberg, well, no, not going to support anybody who's trying to buy it. So that's what seems to be going on the left. But I'm always, you know, we're going to find out in the next few hours a lot about where the status is. What I've been reading this morning seems to indicate that people think that it's going to be pretty much a wash as far as between Bernie and Biden. Bloomberg, they expect to get some delegates, Warren a few delegates, and just because of the way it is, Bernie will probably win most of the states, but the, you know, the 15% rule, such as it is, they expect that it'll be pretty close in delegates between Biden and Sanders. So it's looking like they may be on track to get to that brokered convention. And, okay, this brings up my old point. If Bernie is the nominee, what happens next? Because the Democrats are worried about down ballot races. And I just had this weird thought a few days ago, because President Obama, he's been pretty silent about things, hasn't endorsed Biden, hasn't endorsed anybody. But it was pointed out a few months ago that he does not want Bernie. He doesn't think Bernie can win or whatever. And I'm just wondering, should Bernie get the nomination, will the president, the former president, kind of sit it out, maybe even tacitly endorse Trump as a way to say, yeah, okay, we're stuck with this. We're stuck with Trump. You need to vote Democrat on all the down ballot races, Congress, Senate, to keep him in check, because we're not going to get rid of him. I'm just wondering if he might, Obama might do that. But what happens if the establishment Democrats actually pull off their plan and stop Bernie? Well, I've said, I think it's almost a given he will be offered the Green Party nomination. I don't know if he would take it, but if he believes in his revolution, maybe he may think what he needs to do this year is destroy the Democratic Party, which he could do if he took the Green Party nomination. Now, this brings up a little history now. We all remember the election of 12, right? No, we don't, because I'm talking about 1912. Even I'm not quite old enough to remember that one. But in that election, the incumbent president was William Howard Taft. He was Theodore Roosevelt's hand-picked successor, but Roosevelt became quite disillusioned with him. Thought he was incompetent, thought he didn't have what it took, whatever. And when the Republican Party made it clear they were going to nominate Taft, Roosevelt launched a third-party bid. He didn't win, but he beat Taft. The establishment party candidate, and in that case the incumbent president, actually finished third. And that left Woodrow Wilson as president. I'm not sure that in a three-way race, it wouldn't be Joe Biden finishing third to Donald Trump and then Bernie Sanders. It would give the Justice Democrats a way to revamp the Democrat Party in their vision. So I'm just wondering, I saw yesterday, I was watching this video from some far leftist guy, and he said the Democrats have got to stop worrying about electability and stand on their principles. And he made a case for that. Of course, I didn't agree with his case, but I understand where he was coming from. Of course, I noticed at the end he finished his video with the Soviet national anthem, so there's that. Okay, but I've gotten through about half my time here, and there is something I wanted to talk about because, well, this goes back a ways. It's more of the big picture, simple facts of life kind of stuff, because what we're seeing from the Bernie bros and the Democrats who tend to be Bernie light, which is just about all of them these days, is we have been hearing so much about free stuff, social justice, all this sort of thing. And it got me to thinking, about 4 years ago, I guess I published this on April 26, 2016. A few weeks before that, I'd seen this meme, and that's the picture I have in the slideshow. It's just a little thing, says, "Dear Republicans, giving our youth a college education or health care is not giving them free stuff. They're not a flat screen TV or an Xbox. They are tools with which they can shape America into something better so we all gain." And it was signed by Reality. Yeah. Now, when I saw that, I mean, I almost had to laugh. I sent that to a friend of mine who's kind of a guy who mentored me when I'd started writing blogs and such, and he hasn't written in quite a long time. But back then, I sent it to him figuring this was so easy, he might want to take a shot at it. He kind of, after a week or so, I just figured that he had passed on it. So I wrote this article, and I thought about it, and I reread it, and it's as relevant today as it was 4 years ago. And so I thought I would just read it to you because it's a really easy way to kill some time. So the title of this was Dear Reality, which was written sort of in the form of an open letter. And so I did as I often do in my blog. I started it with a quote from a music lyric, and in this case it was from the Beatles' Strawberry Fields Forever. The line was, "Living is easy with eyes closed, misunderstanding all you see." And then the article starts, "I saw this meme on Facebook a while back, shared or liked by one of my liberal friends. Yes, believe it or don't, I have a few of those. I don't think they know that I'm the guy that writes this drivel. I looked at some of the comments, and as I would have suspected, most of the commenters thought that this was the most logical piece of common sense that they had seen in weeks. And as you might have suspected, I thought this was the stupidest thing that I had seen in that time period. While I'm normally willing to let a lot of stupidity go unanswered, this was so blatant, and more importantly, so easy. I'm actually almost as lazy as some of those of our youth who are busily occupying somewhere whilst waiting for their free stuff. But I figured I'd give it a shot. In full disclosure, I feel a little bit guilty about responding to this, seeing as how it was addressed to Republicans, and I am not and never have been a member of that party. But since I'm sure that those people are too busy conspiring with the Democrats in order to find new and better ways to screw over the American populace, I'll do them this one small favor. Dear reality, if that's your real name, which it obviously isn't, you didn't give your address, but I suspect that it's at the corner of Rainbow Way and Unicorn Lane in the heart of downtown La La Land. Those of us who are in possession of some functional brain cells realize that giving our youth college education or health care is not the same as giving them a flat screen TV or an Xbox. But reality, we also realize that all of those things have something in common. None of them would exist except for the results of somebody's labor. Simple fact of life. In a free society, people own their labor. That education, healthcare, TV, or Xbox were all created by somebody. And in all likelihood, that somebody would just love for you to have what he created. That is, as long as you have something to trade for it. You see, as talented as he is to have created those things, he doesn't have the skills or the time to do everything for himself. He, like you and me, needs someone else to create the goods and services he cannot fashion for himself. And to get those things, he is willing to trade his creation. That is the basis of all economic activity. When all parties agree to the terms of the trade, it's called freedom, it's called honor. But if somebody who has nothing to trade takes his creation, it's called slavery. It's called theft. But, you say, education and healthcare are tools with which they can shape America into something better so that we all gain. Well, a monkey wrench is a tool, and unless you live way out in the woods or are a member of some bizarre species that doesn't ever need a toilet. Maybe I'm onto something here since you are so full of crap. We all gain from the work of plumbers. And we all gain from the work of mechanics, carpenters, truckers, dentists, writers, and a host of other professions, all of which use tools of some sort to practice their trade. Are you suggesting that we, the taxpayers, should give everyone that wants to try a job whatever they need to do it? With our national debt and budget deficit gumming up the gears of our economy the way they are, I doubt that it's a monkey wrench that we want to throw into the works. Or reality, does it make more sense to ask that somebody who wants to get into a profession go to work for an employer who will provide the necessary tools, and if he discovers that he has a knack for that work and wants to start his own business, to save and or borrow what he needs to do it? Fully aware, of course, that sooner or later he has to pay back his freely accepted debt. But you say, a college education is not the same thing as a contractor's license. Sure, not exactly, but remember, most college students, even the ones that spend more time in the library studying than they do in the quad protesting or the dorm partying, they lack the real-world experience to be sure of what they want to do with their lives. Which brings us to the real crux of our problem. A young person who is not worried about the cost will miss out on the most important lesson that college has to offer: discipline. The discipline that comes from the fear of failure. If you're not concerned about the cost of your health care, aren't you more likely to live an unhealthy lifestyle and take stupid chances than you would be if you knew that doing so could cost you dearly? And if you know that you will have to make your college degree pay for itself, won't you give more thought to what you will want to study, what tool you are buying? A young carpenter won't buy every hammer in the hardware store. or even the first one that he sees. Since he knows that he will have to make his tool pay for itself, he will carefully consider which one will best serve his needs and which one he can most effectively work with. Yes, reality, for a disciplined person, a degree can be a useful tool, one that will pay for itself many times over. But if the discipline is not there, it can be a huge waste of time and money. Now, that's just fine if it's his money. It's already his time, not mine. But reality, are you okay with it if it's your money that he's wasting? I'm not okay if it's mine. Seriously, how useful a tool is a degree in 19th century lesbian poetry? Or for that matter, 20th century straight male poetry? Our undisciplined young idealist may be able to whip out his tool and impress a couple of people hanging out at the coffee house, but the chances of making it pay for itself are infinitesimally small. So how do we all gain from that? If we're the ones paying for it, then we all lose. That's where I ended. I ended the article with another quote. This one was from A Dangling Conversation by Simon and Garfunkel, and I kind of put this in here to for my reference to degrees in poetry. And the line is, "And you read your Emily Dickinson, and I my Robert Frost, and we note our place with bookmarkers that measure what we've lost." And I signed that QMCUSN retired, proud resident of planet Earth. Okay, well, I put a, if you like that article, I put a link to it in the show notes, and you can read it, you can print it out and put it on your dartboard, whatever. But, That about all just about covers my time. So, yeah, let me see. Once again, Super Tuesday is coming up. I'm going to watch the results with interest. I don't really. We know who's going to win on the Republican side. Doesn't much matter.
When the Oregon primary comes around, I won't even be voting in that, simply because, as I mentioned in my article, and as it remains, I'm not a member of any political party, and we are a closed primary state here. So, you know, whatever ballot measures happen to be on there, maybe I'll vote. But, okay, we're getting down toward the end. Thank Tim Tapp for joining me. He was here for the whole time, and of course he will be coming up in just about 30 minutes from now. Blog Talk Radio, Tim Tapp, search that. Vorpal Byte was here briefly. Okay, somebody else I see is in the chat room. All right, but that being the case, we'll see you next week and try and figure out what happened in the elections. Till next time.